comprehension came like a red sun rising on a field where thousands have been slaughtered. Susanna rushed forward again, unmindful of Mia's strength, screaming it over and over again, "Bitch! Betraying bitch! Murdering bitch! You told them where the door would send them! Where it would send Eddie and Roland! Oh, you bitch!" 7. Mia was strong, but unprepared for this new attack. It was especially ferocious because Detta had joined her own murderous energy to Susanna's understanding. For a moment, the interloper was pushed backward, eyes wide. In the hotel room, the telephone dropped from Mia's hand. She staggered drunkenly across the carpet, almost tripped over one of the beds, then whirled about like a tipsy dancer. Susanna slapped at her, and red marks appeared on her cheek like exclamation points. "Slapping myself, that's all I'm doing," Susanna thought. "Beating up the equipment, how stupid is that?" But she couldn't help it. The enormity of what Mia had done, the betraying enormity. Inside, in some battle ring which was not quite physical, but not entirely mental either, Mia was finally able to clutch Susanna Detta by the throat and drive her back. Mia's eyes were still wide with shock at the ferocity of the assault, and perhaps with shame as well. Susanna hoped she was able to feel shame, that she hadn't gone beyond that. "I did what I had to do," Mia repeated as she forced Susanna back into the brig. "It's my chap. Every hand is against me. I did what I had to do." "You traded Eddie and Roland for your monster. That's what you did," Susanna screamed. "Based on what you overheard and then passed on, Sayre was sure they'd use the door to go after Tower, wasn't he? And how many has he set against them?" The only answer was that iron clang. Only this time it was followed by a second and a third. Mia had had the hands of her hostess clamped around her throat and was consequently taking no chances. This time, the brig's door had been triple-locked. Brig! Hell, might as well call it the Black Hole of Calcutta. "When I get out of here, I'll go back to the Dogon and disable all the switches," she cried. "I can't believe I tried to help you. Well, fuck that. Have it on the street for all of me." "You can't get out," Mia replied, almost apologetically. "Later, if I can, I'll leave you in peace." "What kind of peace will there be for me with Eddie dead? No wonder you wanted to take his ring off. How could you bear to have it lie against your skin, knowing what you'd done?" Mia picked up the telephone and listened, but Richard P. Sayre was no longer there. Probably had places to go and diseases to spread, Susanna thought. Mia replaced the telephone in its cradle, looked around at the empty, sterile room the way people do when they won't be coming back to a place and want to make sure they've taken everything that matters. She patted one pocket of her jeans and felt the little wad of cash. Touched the other and felt the lump that was the turtle, the Sholpada. "I'm sorry," Mia said. "I have to take care of my chap. Every hand is against me now." "That's not true," Susanna said from the locked room where Mia had thrown her. And where was it, really? In the deepest, darkest dungeons of the castle on the abyss? Probably. Did it matter? "I was on your side. I helped you. I stopped your damn labor when you needed it stopped. And look what you did. How could you ever be so cowardly and low?" Mia paused with her hand on the room's doorknob, her cheeks flushing a dull red. Yes, she was ashamed, all right. But shame wouldn't stop her. Nothing would stop her. Until, that was, she found herself betrayed and turned by Sayre and his friends. Thinking of that inevitability gave Susanna no satisfaction at all. "You're damned," she said. "You know that, don't you?" "I don't care," Mia said. "An eternity in hell's a fair price to pay for one look in my chap's face. Hear me well, I beg." And then, carrying Susanna and Detta with her, Mia opened the hotel room door, re-entered the corridor, and took her first steps on her course toward the Dixie Pig, where terrible surgeons waited to deliver her of her equally terrible chap. Stave. Kamala mocks Nix. "You're in a nasty fix. To take the hand in a traitor's glove is to grasp a sheaf of sticks." Response. Kamala comes six. "Nothing there but thorns and sticks. When you find your hand in a traitor's glove, you're in a nasty fix."